You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil. I'm here with Jeff and Ken. Jeff, you're in the studio here. We were just talking right before recording that you want to get a Chase Lounge for the studio. Is that right?
Yes, some type of seat where I could sit in repose. So
you do like being in repose. And Matt, I feel like you're only maybe 2 to 3 years away from being like the people in WALL-E, just floating around in a recliner on your computer.
One can hope. I think actually Ken just fell in one of those because he said he's in the studio, but I'm not seeing him.
He's definitely not here. I think he's under a giant trash heap to the tune of It Only Takes a Moment from Hello, Dolly. So hopefully someone will be able to find him. We're excited to be here. Sorry I wasn't here last week, everyone. I'm not sure what I was doing, but I'm sure it was a very valid reason that that Ken said. But I'm excited to be here today because we have some really cool guests. And we're going to start with our guest host, someone that we love having on the show, coming to us from Ottawa, the purveyor of the Trivia Hall of Fame, Oaken 5 supporter on Patreon, someone that I hope one day in person I can call Monsieur. But that's going to be Paul Paquette. How are you, Paul?
I'm excellent. It's been a nice warm winter here. And I gather in Chicago, too, it's been pretty warm, too.
It's up and down. Yeah, it's sunny today, fairly warm, but we did have like, you know, 20 yesterday. So it's giving us, it's slapping us in the face and then giving us a hug at the same time. But what's new in your world? And for anyone who isn't familiar with you, what do you do? What are you up to?
Well, I've got the Ottawa Trivia League I run and various other trivia side things. I've also taken up acting, actually. Uh-oh. And I landed my first paying gig last month.
Oh, congratulations. Congrats. How did that go?
It's gonna be in December, so it's a ways away, but I've got it, so that's exciting.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we'll have to partner on something then at some point, or I can recommend some people to work with, I think, that you'll have fun with, so...
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Well, today you aren't acting. You're going to be a trivia host as normal for us. And is there anything special about today's game before we introduce our special guest?
So you guys had a last minute cancellation yesterday and you reached out to me and I was very happy to do it. But for some of this might be a rerun because to get a game together in 24 hours, what it is, I wrote one of Bill Patchak's BP Trivia monthly games that none of you guys have done. So you won't be familiar with the questions, but fans of Bill's might recognize. So if you recognize it, it's probably because you saw it in the BP trivia I wrote.
Oh, great. Well, we love Bill and we love BP trivia. So shout out to them. Definitely go to bptrivia.com. I feel like even if we did see these questions,
we wouldn't remember.
Yeah, I was going to say like remember. 4 weeks ago, we wouldn't even remember even if we did. So
yeah, you can ask the same questions we just recorded an hour ago and I wouldn't remember them.
Yes, so that's the old podcast 10% of brainwaves going away, but we're excited to play it, and I'm going to be partnering with Matt today. We'll get to our team names in a minute, but our special guest player coming to us from somewhere between Trenton, New Jersey, and Philadelphia, Oaken 5 supporter on Patreon, Corey Leeper. How's it going, Corey?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing really well. Let's tell the audience a little bit about you. What are you up to?
So that little space between Trenton and Philadelphia is a little town called Levittown. I was born and raised here. I live here now with my wife, Jenna, and my two beautiful children, Haley and Caleb. And I am the director of a community-based mental health program for a nonprofit organization in Doylestown.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And we're so happy to have you here today. And I know you came in, you pointed at Jeff, just like Babe Ruth, said, I want to partner with him. So what's your team name going to be today?
So I chose a name that I usually use with my team at our trivia every Wednesday night, and we're going to be the Crooked Vultures.
All right. Well, the Crooked Vultures. Got a little Dave Grohl connection coming over to our team over here. Matt, what are we going to be today?
Yeah, it's apparently a pilot for a show you're writing, Tweens of the Stone Age.
Yes, Tweens of the Stone Age. We said before the recording that we're going to do a reality show where we stick a bunch of tweens in the Stone Age without any electronics or modern conveniences and just see what happens. And it's going to be Melee. So should be pretty fun. Well, look at Fox for that. I'm sure it'll be canceled after one season, like all of their other shows. So, yeah, we're excited to play here. We just got to throw it to Darren for the rules and in honor of our friend Paul. We're going to have... Darren, do it in a French-Canadian accent, I should say. Let's see how it goes.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
Cream of the crop.
Paul, what did you think of Darren's French-Canadian accent?
Not offensive at all.
Good. That's what we hope for. So please send all your letters to Darren and not us. Yeah, let's throw it to Paul. We are ready to play.
All right. So traditionally, I like to start off with an easy question. And I tell you that because sometimes people dramatically overthink question one and go in the wrong direction. So don't overthink this.
Okay.
In real life, what Warner Brothers cartoon bird can only run about 15 miles an hour, about half as fast as a coyote can?
Corey, I don't know if you trust me on this one, but I've got a good inkling, so.
Yeah, I think we can lock in.
Okay.
All right, Matt, I think this has got to be Roadrunner, right?
He said don't overthink it, so that's probably for the best, so we'll go with Roadrunner.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine Tweety Bird running at all, but we went ahead and locked in with Roadrunner as well.
Yeah, it is obviously the Roadrunner.
Oh, good. And sponsored by, what is it, Plymouth, probably?
Yeah, a little throwback to car names from last week.
All right.
Number two, the way to a man's heart may be through his stomach, but heart surgeons will instead go through what bone, breaking it before breaking the ribs.
Okay. Matt and I are not doctors. We're not in the medical field, but I think we've broken a few of these ourselves at the coffee conglomerate in anger, so we're going to lock in.
Have we?
I don't know.
Must have been out that day.
We're not allowed to say that outside of court of law.
All right. Corey, what do you think on this one?
I have two thoughts. When I first heard the question, I was leaning more towards the sternum. I wasn't sure exactly what you were thinking, though.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm pretty sure the sternum is the one that connects all the ribs, and I think they have to crack the sternum to get in there. So I'm comfortable with that answer.
Sounds good.
And Matt?
Yeah, there's nothing. It just seems like that's what covers the ribs. So we said sternum.
It is indeed sternum.
All right.
TriStar showed what future Oscar winner reported $600,000 in money to get him to appear in Jerry Maguire.
We can lock it.
Well, if he's a future Oscar winner, who was showing him the money? Was this Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Because I know, who else is in Jerry Maguire? Tom Cruise has never won an Oscar, I don't think.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't think of anybody else that's in that movie. It's not one I've actually seen, but I know the premise of it, and Cuba Gooding Jr. is always shown during that scene, the show me the money scene, so that would probably be who I would lean towards.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and lock in Cuba Gooding Jr.
He won.
Yeah, I don't think Tom Cruise has won his Oscar yet.
Nope, not yet. He's been nominated a couple times, but hasn't won. What were you going to say, Matt?
Cuba won for Snow Dogs, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
No, incorrect.
He did win for Snow Dogs. He also, when I met Steven Spielberg at a Lifetime Achievement Award, I might have said this on the podcast before, but he was there heavily intoxicated, hitting on women, putting his arm around me, yelling for Tom, who Tom Cruise was there and he left quickly after his speech and he kept yelling, "Tom, where's Tom? I'm his best friend." And I think he got home okay that night. Who knows? But he was severely intoxicated. But yeah,
that,
we said,
is that why we haven't seen him in anything in a while?
Yeah. So we said Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, that is absolutely the case. Number four. Under the standard rules of Monopoly, what happens when you land on free parking?
We can lock in.
Oh, good, because I'm terrible at Monopoly. I don't particularly like it. I respect it. I don't know anything about it, but we're going to let you lock in, Matt.
Does this sound right to you, Corey? But I don't think anything happens.
You know what? I'm sitting here very puzzled, but I was thinking, do you get some sort of monetary value for that? But I would probably lean back towards no, nothing happens.
I think house rules, people often like kind of put some money under free parking or whatever, like the fees and collection stuff that happens. And like, if you land on it, you'll get it. But pretty sure that's a common house rule in Monopoly. I think generally speaking, if you're on free parking, nothing, it's free. It's like the one free space. So,
right. Okay.
We're going to say nothing.
Yes. This one, I am 100% sure. There's no free parking anywhere in any of the cities I've lived in, but yeah, nothing happens.
Not in Chicago anymore, for sure.
That's correct. Nothing happens. And the house rule about putting the fees and the taxes under there is one of the reasons that the game sucks. Because if you read the actual rules to Monopoly, nobody plays the game properly. One of the rules of Monopoly is if I land on Mediterranean, so I don't want Mediterranean, it's supposed to go for auction immediately. So every time you land on a property, somebody ends up with that property if it's not you. And that speeds up the game enormously.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the game. I know a lot of people are really good at it and they enjoy it. But just speaking of Monopoly, maybe we'll start with Matt here. They always make themed editions of Monopoly. So if there could be one themed edition that doesn't exist that you would love to have, what would it be, Matt?
One that doesn't exist already?
Right.
That's amazing, because that was to say almost everything has one. I would say American Idol.
Yeah, like a Clay Aiken boardwalk and Ruben Studdard train station.
That's Kelly Erasure.
Yeah.
How about you, Corey?
You know what? And it's funny we mentioned this. My friends will get a kick out of this, but we've always talked about having some sort of like real world road rules here in Levittown, just because we figured it would be a watchable thing. Monopoly in Levittown. I just think it would work, just maybe for our friends who would know what it's all about. But I couldn't imagine what's the biggest, probably a bar around here is what's the biggest offer out there.
Love that.
I think the way we would know we made it is if there was a triviality Monopoly. And I'm not sure, you know, Dutch Boy Corner.
You don't want to be in a dark corner with Dutch Boy, I'll tell you that.
So question five. The first pinball machine with button control flippers, released in 1947, was named for what teetering nursery rhyme character?
Corey, what do you think about a teetering nursery rhyme?
I'm drawing a blank on it, unfortunately, Jeff. It's just not coming to me. I know that's supposed to be a clue, and it's not coming to me for whatever reason.
I think if I'm on the edge and I'm about to break, maybe yes. Humpty Dumpty. He was teetering on an edge, had a great fall. So, I can't imagine what that would look like, Humpty Dumpty pinball, but, I think we're in on it. So,
yeah, I think we're doing the Humpty Hump over here as well. We're gonna lock in with,
Matt, that's not how you're supposed to activate the flippers.
We're going, Humpty Dumpty. One step
it is indeed Humpty Dumpty. Sat on a wall, had a great fall. The reason they added flippers to pinball machines, by the way, is that they would be games of skill instead of games of chance. Because if they were games of chance, they would fall afoul of various local laws against gambling.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool. Here's a fun fact for everyone. In the movie Nothing But Trouble, featuring the Digital Underground, whose main hit was the Humpty Dance, you'll see a young Tupac in his crew. Anyway, looks like after five questions, both teams have five correct, so it is 50-50. And as always, it is anyone's game, but we're tied on our way to question six. So let's continue.
Literally true in this case. The 2020 film Resistance stars Jesse Eisenberg as what surprising member of the French Resistance? Even more surprisingly, this person released a best of album in 1970.
I just saw an awkward interview with Jesse Eisenberg and this woman.
She watched all of them?
She asked him to do a magic trick, and he was horrendous to her the entire time, and then was forced to apologize at the end.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, but Jesse Eisenberg, though, my favorite story of him, which we've talked about before, is the boy who bullied him on the street on his bike, and he said he kept calling him Abraham, and he's like, I am not that man. I'm not Abraham. Anyway, okay.
All right, Corey, I don't know if you trust me, but I think I've got this one, so we can go ahead and lock in.
So I'm familiar with this movie. I've never seen it. I know on the poster, I remember seeing the poster when it came out. He's running. It's definitely mm-hmm. World War II, because there was a Nazi flag on the poster, although the question would maybe lead you to believe it was, or that was that'd be the revolution. Anyway, I know we joked about that, but I think it's the most famous mime of all time. And Mr. Mime. I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. I know this person's name. He cameoed in Mel Brooks's silent movie. He was the only person that talked in the entire movie, which was funny because he's a mime.
Oh, okay.
Alliterative name.
Frank.
Jacques. No. Let me go through the alphabet. Not Jacques. Marcel Marceau. That's what we're going to lock in with.
So disappointed. I feared I had said too much. Yes, we agree. This is Marcel Marceau.
It is Marcel Marceau. And the reason that the Best Of album 1970 is more surprising is because it is an album of complete silence. Moving forward, number 7. What does Arnold Schwarzenegger say when entering the game in The Running Man? After threatening a doctor in Twins? When strapped into a memory-altering machine in Total Recall? And during the final battle in The Expendables 2.
It's the same thing, or are they all different?
It's the same thing.
It's not a tumor.
I was going to make that joke.
There's so many good.
He was arguing with the doctor.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Okay, Matt and I thought about it and talked about these movies. We're going to lock in with a guess.
Corey, I'm totally out of my element here. What do you think?
I'm right there with you, Jeff. Unfortunately, I've not seen any of these movies, but I can run through these famous quotes in movies that I watch on YouTube a lot. And I remember seeing him in a chair. I don't know if it's a Total Recall, but he says something along the lines of like, give these people air or something. I don't know where that would fit.
Got to give them the air.
Yeah. Something along those lines. I don't know where that would fit in any of the other movies, but that's the only thing I can come up with though.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny cause I definitely was thinking of the classic. It's not a tumor.
Get to the chopper.
And such. Yeah, get in the chopper.
I'm pretty sure he's not trying to sell them.
Put that cookie down.
Those are my
I'm sure
cookies.
He's not trying to sell but them I'm, State I'm Farm to... insurance anymore either. Like a good neighbor.
Yeah, I'm trying to. your guess is as good as mine, Corey.
Yeah, I guess that's the only one I can come up with is just give these people air.
Okay, we're going to be saying give these people air.
Okay. Yeah. So we thought maybe Paul was being a little cutesy and didn't list Terminator because he often does say I'll be back, or at least we know he did it like 3 or 4 times. So we're just kind of banking that it's the phrase I'll be back.
Neil knows me very well. It is I'll be back. And I didn't deliberately omit the most famous instance of it.
Because once you said it was Expendables 2, I do know he says I'll be back, and then Bruce Willis says yippee-ki-yay, and I was like, oh, maybe he did say it in the other movies. I just didn't remember.
Really?
It,
but, that's in Expendables 2, they just say their catchphrases? Just like line them up?
Yeah. And then The Running Man, I think you'd really like, Matt. So it was written, it's based on a book by Richard Bachman, who's Stephen King, his pseudonym. But the movie is absolutely insane. It's got Richard Dawson, the host of Family Feud, as a reality TV host of like a crazy
Kissing
Hunger
all the
Games
ladies.
Style.
Yep.
And then you got Jim Brown in there for you, for your sports.
That's what I've always wanted, is a Jim Brown movie.
So our next one, it's not a hard question, but it's a question that I just love, love, love. Unhappy that the studio wouldn't let him make a Dick Tracy sequel, who made his own short films in which he appeared as the character, exploiting a clause in his contract that allowed him to extend his film rights to the character whenever he did so. In 2023, Dick Tracy zooms in, assured his rights to the character until it becomes public domain.
We can lock in. This is one of my favorite facts in Hollywood, and it's very hilarious. So,
I think it's something not ridiculous, but it's someone that I don't really I don't know him for anything else, honestly, aside from his sister and the fact that Neil has talked about this fact before. And I think it's Warren Beatty.
It's not one of the ones I was thinking of, but I'm fine with going with that because I do not know.
Okay. Yeah, I want to go Warren Beatty if you're okay with that.
Sure.
Yeah, Warren Beatty directed, played Dick Tracy, and if you ever watch the TCM zooms he does to keep the character under his right, they're kind of off the rails, but they're great. Yeah, we said Warren Beatty.
Yeah, definitely Warren Beatty. Number nine. Who is currently starring in two hit shows in which he is on the move, protecting somebody vulnerable? I'll tell you that one of the shows is on Disney Plus and the other is on HBO, but we do want the actor and not the show.
They're locked in. Do we have any ideas here?
Well, you had mentioned John Krasinski, but he plays Jack Ryan. Not Reacher.
Okay.
Jack Reacher, but that's Alan Ritchson. I'm just trying to think of what Disney show would be a hit show where he's protecting someone vulnerable. I mean, I don't watch Loki. That's what Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston, right?
Yeah. I can't think of any other Disney Plus shows. There was, what was the most recent Marvel one? There was one after that, wasn't there? There's Echo, but I don't know.
Echo, Moon Knight.
Oh, this is Pedro Pascal for, Last of Us and Mandalorian.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that sounds good to me. Let's lock in with that.
Corey, did we also say that it was the upcoming Mr. Fantastic?
That we did.
Pedro Pascal.
You're both right. I keep reading on Facebook and whatnot that, oh my God, Pedro Pascal doesn't look like Reed Richards. He has a mustache. And I keep thinking, that's a very easy problem to fix.
Yeah, it's not super glued on his face, right? Yeah. If you have a chance, especially for you, Paul, since you're getting into acting and stuff, but he was on an interview with Kieran Culkin and a couple of the cast members from Succession, and he showed them how he memorizes his lines, and he has a notebook with almost like a cipher written out, and it looks like the Zodiac Killer's letters. It's crazy. But he uses he underlines, I think, the first letter of every line or something like that to memorize, but he showed it on camera and they were all like losing their minds about it.
Actually, I should look into that because that's the thing I find most difficult is mastering the dialogue. So
I can give you the only tip, I tell this to all the young actors I work with at the high school and things like that, but I was terrible at memorizing lines because I started as an actor before I moved behind the camera, and I still am terrible at memorizing lines. So what I would do, and I learned it from a director that I worked with once, is at the time when I was younger, it was CDs, but now you can just use your phone. You go through the script, you read all of the lines that aren't yours out loud onto a recorder, leave a space for your line, say it in your head for the amount of time that you need or how you're going to perform it, and then you read through the script once or twice with the recorder while you're reading the script to get the visualization in your head to memorize, and then you just listen to it when you go to sleep, when you walk, and within about 3 or 4 days, you're going to know everyone's line, not even your own.
Yeah, I'll have to try that.
We used to have scripts for our intros, and we were so bad at reading them that we just canceled the whole thing and we just make it up now.
Yeah, exactly.
Number 10, what is the most recent and, as far as we can tell, only show set in Canada nominated for the Best Musical Tony?
I think I know this one, Matt.
Oh, you think it's that one?
I think so. I'm pretty sure that, I don't want to give any clues away, but it definitely takes place in a locale, very specifically Canadian.
All right, Corey, first thoughts?
I guess my musical theater doesn't go as far as I would like it to. I'm just trying to think of the ones that I know are always talked about on social media and none are just popping up that would be even remotely close.
Well, the story I'm thinking of, and I think it was a musical, was about all the people whose flights were redirected, rerouted to a small Canadian town following September 11th. I think that was a musical called Come From Away. Definitely a story, but the musical I'm struggling with, I can't say I know the music, if there is any, but That would be my best guess.
I'm okay with going with that then.
Okay, we're going to lock in Come From Away.
Yeah, this is a musical that took place in Newfoundland. We said Come From Away.
Yep, indeed. And my mother was from Newfoundland. I lived there for a few years. And when I finally saw the musical, I was really impressed with how, not only how good the accents were, which is, it's a Newfoundland accent is very tough, but there's all kinds of local references and things. So I was pretty impressed that they took the trouble to do that.
What kind of accent is it? Is there like a root of a different?
It sounds vaguely Irish.
Oh, okay.
But it's not really.
But it's very distinctive, though. Something they had to learn, I'm sure.
Yeah, they go to special classes to learn the accent. It's like the French, Canadian accent to open the show.
After the first round, both teams performing very well. It is 90 points for the Crooked Vultures and 100 points for the Tweens of the Stone Age. So it still is anybody's game going into the swing round. Before we get into the swing round, just wanted to take a quick moment to let everyone know about Patreon. We've been super excited here starting at the new year with all of our extra bonus content. We have weekly bonuses that come out from each of us, followed by a crop drop at the end of every month, which is our Ask Me Anything style bonus episode. But we've been really enjoying all these extra bonus episodes, and I want to throw it to Corey, because I know you've been listening to him. Have you been enjoying all the extra content coming through your feed?
I really have been. It's been very exciting, especially the one recently about Punxsutawney Phil being from Pennsylvania. We hold him near and dear to our hearts, but maybe not so much because he promised us a early spring and we got a lot of snow yesterday. So no fun.
I know you were saying that, and I was, everything I said was just in jest, hopefully people enjoyed that episode. But yeah, you get all these extra bonus episodes monthly if you sign up for the $5 level or higher. If you sign up at the $1 level or higher, you're going to get ad-free episodes, so you won't even be hearing this. This is just for people on our main feed, and people on Patreon won't be hearing this, at least starting with episode 353. But we'd love for you to join us on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast, and that exclusive feed you can either have on your favorite podcast app, or we're on Spotify now for the private Patreon feed. So join Corey and Paul and all the other great listeners who've helped us continue to grow the show at patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. Okay, Paul, that was a great round one. Let's see what you have in store for the swing round.
So for the swing round, we're going to play a little rock, paper, scissors. I'm going to give you a list of 10 items. You tell us whether it's a type or brand of rock, of paper, or of scissors. So our 10 items are, and I'm going to mispronounce at least one of these, so apologies in advance, Fiskars, Gabbro, Ginger, Gneiss, G-N-E-I-S-S, Juan, H-U-A-N, Craft, Litmus, Obsidian, Rhyolite, and Washi.
Thank you, Paul, for all the clues. We will step away and be right back with our answers.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she
Or call the police.
Or call the police, like she should have, exactly. Exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Okay, all the answers are now locked in from the swing round. We're going to go back to Paul. He will give the clue, and we will let you know if we think it is rock, paper, scissors, or Dwayne Johnson. All right, Paul.
We're going to start with Fiskars, F-I-S-K-A-R-S.
I believe we went with scissors.
Yeah, I originally thought that this was a car, but we ended up going with scissors.
Yep, it is a brand of scissors. All right, our next one is Gabbro.
We went rock.
This one we just took a guess and said paper.
Gabbro is a mafic intrusive igneous rock that is chemically equivalent to basalt. So it is a rock. Moving on to, I think it's probably Ginger, but it might be a different pronunciation. I'm not sure about that.
We said paper.
We also said paper.
Sadly, it is a brand of scissors. Nice or nice, one or the other, G-N-E-I-S-S.
We went with rock.
We said scissors.
It is rock. Juan, H-U-A-N.
For this one, we said scissors.
I think we're bad at this game, but we said rock.
Apparently, it's paper. It's a Chinese paper. Craft.
Unfortunately, it's not a mac and cheese dinner, but we're going to go with paper.
I thought it was something that we used to play with in kindergarten. We said paper.
It is paper. Litmus.
We also said paper.
We hope we passed the test on this one and also said paper.
It is paper. Obsidian.
We said rock.
Yep, we thought this was a rock as well.
And it is a rock. Rhyolite.
For this one, we went with rock as well.
I think with that ending, it has to be a rock.
Yep. And washi.
We said paper.
We went scissors.
I believe it's the paper used to make origami, if I'm right about that.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
That is it for the swing round, and it was truly a swing round because Tweens of the Stone Age only picking up 25 points, bringing their total to 125, but the Crooked Vultures picking up 40 points and a lead going into the second round with 130 points.
Number 11, although Washaburo Oishi discovered this westerly wind in the border between the stratosphere and troposphere, nobody noticed because he published his research in Esperanto. What erratic wind is this?
All right, so Jeff and Corey are locked in. Now, Matt, I don't know much about, well, a lot of things, especially geography or winds or anything like that.
What about constructive languages?
I don't know anything about that either. but when I heard winds, because I'm working on a rom-com book, all I thought of were the Santa Ana winds that were mentioned in The Holiday during Jack Black's Meet Cute with Kate Winslet, but that's all I have to offer, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
We got the Winds of Change. You got...
Classic.
You got Windy City. I had nothing else.
Breaking Wind.
Yeah. But Santa Ana Wind sounds like a real thing. So I'm okay locking in with that.
Okay.
So, Corey, I believe this is the Japanese meteorologist who discovered the jet streams.
Okay.
So we went with the jet stream.
It is the jet stream. I actually started learning Esperanto in university, and when I got to the point where my Esperanto was rather than my French, it was a sobering reflection on my priorities. So, number 12, what welterweight hosted a reality show called The Next Great Champ? And released a self-titled Latin dance album that went platinum and got nominated for a Grammy.
Jeff, I think I might have an idea.
Okay. Corey, I'm out of my depth, so if you got an in, let's go ahead and lock in with that.
Do you have any idea on this one, Matt? I'm not too big on my boxers.
Yeah, I'm a briefs guy myself, too. Yeah. I think.
And that was a softball. See, it's a sports round.
The only person I could think of that... produced an album was De La Hoya.
But was it as good as Macho Man's album?
No, nothing's as good as Macho Man's album. I actually just watched a whole bunch of Macho Man interviews over the weekend. He's a great guy. RIP to the Macho Man. But yeah, I think I'm leaning towards De La Hoya. That's the era that he was big, was a ton of reality TV shows coming out every week. So it would make sense.
That's cool with me. Yeah, I have no other guesses for you. So. Okay.
And yeah, I think we also went with Oscar De La Hoya.
It is Oscar De La Hoya. 13. Thanks to Game of Thrones, what became the 755th most popular name for girls in 2014? A decision those parents may have regretted after the last episode aired in 2019.
No, I don't think anyone actually named their kid that, but that's, is that who you're talking about?
I don't know anything. Is that the same person?
I think so. Isn't the name you gave me, I think, is her real name, and then the other one is what she's known as, right?
When she's married to
like
Roman Reigns?
Like a, what do you call it? Not, what's the term I'm looking for? For a...
moniker, epitaph?
Yeah, moniker.
I think, the first one is what people...
Yeah, I agree with you. I just wanted to double check just to make sure that's who you were talking
that
about.
That is, yeah.
Okay, Matt, I think got this one right on the money, as he is a Game of Thrones super fan wearing his Westeros basketball jersey right now.
But yeah, I have seen upwards of 2 episodes, so.
Wow. Corey, what do we think?
So I think Paul mentioned something along the lines of, because of the last episode, they might have been wrong to name their kid that, but I'm between, I guess, Khaleesi and Cersei. I didn't know if those two names were coming to your mind or what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I had thought of Cersei, but she was kind of a manipulative monster throughout the run, so I can't imagine there was too much that would have been surprising to people. But
if you're an incest-loving family, though, it's a great name for your
daughter. It really is, yes. But I do feel the heel turn, what people thought was an abrupt heel turn of the main female protagonist, Daenerys, probably would have been a name that people would have rued the day they gave their child. So I imagine it would be Daenerys. I know Khaleesi was her, kind of her name when she was married to Khal Drogo, when she was queen of the Dothraki, but maybe people name their kid Khaleesi. I don't know.
No, you're right. Daenerys is I think what we're leaning towards.
So we'll say Daenerys.
For the listeners at home, Matt's face just went completely uninterested when Jeff said Dothraki and Khal Drogo.
Of House Targaryen, breaker of chains and mother of dragons and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I originally texted Neil Daenerys, and then he responded Khaleesi, and I said, is that the same person? Because I have no idea, but I was pretty sure it was Daenerys, so that's what we locked in with.
So you're both locked in on Daenerys?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to give it to you. It's actually Khaleesi, but you have three persons. And since you both have the same answer, it makes no difference whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to give it to you anyway.
There we go.
All right. We'll take the points. That's I was surprised crazy. They're naming their kids Khaleesi. Wow. Yeah. Pretty cool name, but still, yeah.
I thought the heel turn was abrupt too, but apparently there was all kinds of foreshadowing through the series that was going to happen that I missed entirely. So
I think unfortunately they just kind of, it was a writing issue more than anything. I think that was the direction her character was always going to head. But yeah, I think they just didn't give it enough time and space to really play it out in a thoughtful way. But
He hadn't finished the books, so that might have had something to do with it.
Well, he did tell them what he was going to do with the characters, so.
So number 14, I promise you some OJ flavor, and this is it. What shoe brand had its moment in the sun when somebody wearing them murdered OJ Simpson's ex-wife and a friend of hers? In a shocking coincidence, OJ himself was a fan of the brand.
All right, Matt and I discussed some things. We were probably way off, but we're just going to take a guess because we just don't think we know it right away.
Oh, gosh, Jeff, I'm drawing a blank. All I can really think of is I'm going to rattle off a few of them, like Puma or Adidas or Reebok. Nike was probably big.
I was fixating on Reebok for some reason. I don't know why, but...
I'm good to go with that.
Okay, we're going to lock in Reebok.
So as I've mentioned on the show before, I would skip school with a friend of mine down the block to watch the trial on his huge TV because he had the biggest TV of any kid that we knew in town. And I remember
it was
35
inches.
Yeah, probably actually not. I think it was 50. It was a rear projection TV or whatever. I do remember OJ wore, it was size 12 footprints that they found. I know that for sure. But Matt was coming up with ideas like Puma, K-Swiss, but I don't think it was a sports shoe. I think it was a a dress shoe. I want to say it was Italian, but I don't know any brands of nice dress shoes because I can't afford them. So we just said Kenneth Cole because we had no idea.
Well, Neil was on the right track. It's Bruno Mali. So question 15. Born in 2003, one of my three middle names is Eleonora. Another is Ernman, which is the name of my opera singer mother. The third, for some reason, is Tintin. Who am I? And I'll say we call him Tintin in Canada, but I think in the U.S. you call him Tintin. So hopefully you know who that is.
I was about to ask you what your forte is on opera singers.
Or the children of opera singers. I really don't know very many. Yeah, we're going to say Billie Eilish. Or if you were watching the Nickelodeon version of the Super Bowl, Billie Eilish.
we were thinking along the same lines, but I think Billie Eilish might actually be older because her first albums or songs came out, I think, in like 2018, 2019.
I'm pretty sure she's a couple of years older than that.
So we went with someone a little younger who had just gotten her driver's license a few years ago. We went with Olivia Rodrigo.
Sadly, it is neither of those. It is Greta Thunberg.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no way.
We were in the wrong area there.
Yep. What's her single? I don't know. I'm not familiar with her work.
When the World is Burning Down by the Police.
I was hoping the Titan clue would point you to Europe a little bit, but
Now that you said that, yeah, it did at the end there, but I didn't even put two and two together there. After five questions in the second round, it looks like them Crooked Vultures picking up 40 points, bringing their total and lead up to 170, and Tweens of the Stone Age picking up 30 points, bringing our total to 155. So still a close game, but them Crooked Vultures in the lead.
Well, that brings us to number 16 then. It's one of the world's most prescribed medications, but a large percentage of doses are placebos. And it comes with folic acid in case it doesn't work. What is it?
Okay, Matt and I threw some medicines back and forth, one of which hopefully doesn't have a placebo in it because sometimes you definitely need it. But we locked in with an answer.
I feel like my Rogaine has mostly placebos, to be honest. It's not working.
So, Jeff, I immediately jumped to being that I work in mental health. I was just trying to rattle off a few of those. I didn't know if that was kind of the realm you were thinking of, but just thinking in the day and age in which we live, I was leaning towards like a Ritalin or an Adderall. I'm not sure if that's where you're going with it. What are your thoughts?
Okay. So for me, I'm just trying to figure out if it's highly prescribed, but a large percent of doses are placebos. I can't imagine they would want to mess with people's Ritalin or other similar medications, but I really don't know. I've got no guess on this.
Okay. And the only reason I'm trying to guess one of the two of those, and I get that we wouldn't really want them to have a placebo effect, but in terms of like testing and believing that they have something in them that's helping them remain focused, it might benefit them to not be taking something that's going to mess with them overall chemically. So I'll stick with Ritalin. That's what I think I'll go with.
Yep. And we had the same thought. We were talking about amoxicillin, but you definitely need that as an antibiotic if you're really sick. But we didn't know what else to put, so we said Ritalin.
So this is where having a room full of dudes works to your disadvantage, because the answer is the birth control.
Oh.
Yep. That's probably our biggest Achilles heel. We're just a room full of dudes, unfortunately. But
being men, our biggest Achilles heel. Most women would agree.
This takes us to number 17. What is the most populous country without a McDonald's? Although if it did have one, it might serve McYam, McEgusi soup, and McJollof rice.
All right. We discussed some countries, some that are definitely not countries, some that probably are, but we locked in with one.
Okay, Corey. So yams, I think, pretty common everywhere, but any inkling with Egusi or Jollof rice?
Nothing came to my mind. That's why I was hoping you could point me in the right direction.
Okay. I think Yolof. I've had that before, and I want to say I know it's West African. I believe it's Nigerian in origin, which is a pretty populous country. So I think we should lock in Nigeria.
Yeah, we had a similar conversation. We both thought it was African to start with, and then we were just trying to narrow down a country. I was asking if West Africa was a country. Matt said no, made fun of me. But Matt, you locked in with an answer.
Yeah, so we were on Nigeria for the entire time and then went off in a total different direction and thought maybe it's a country that wouldn't allow them. And we said North Korea.
It is sadly Nigeria. Yeah. Nigeria and Ghana beef about Yolof rice the way Chicago, New York do about pizza. So.
Yep.
Yeah, and everyone knows that Nigerian jollof rice is the superior rice.
Oh, well, obviously. All right, so I've lost track of the question numbers, but here's our next one. All but one of the 114 surahs of the Quran begin with what word, which is Arabic for in the name of God? The word appears three times in a Queen song, and as I learned last week, once in the Marvels movie.
So, Corey, now we're just going through Bohemian Rhapsody, right? Line by line.
And I think I've landed on it.
And what do you think it is?
Bismillah, if that's the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, I think you're close. Basmala, something like that. Yeah, we're in the ballpark, though, for sure. So we're going to lock that in, Paul, and you can tell us if we're close enough.
You feel like you got most of the letters there.
Well, yeah, Corey was saying it like it is in the song. That's what I was thinking of, where they go, Bishmi, no, da 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 da. Yes, we said Bismala or Basmala, I'm assuming, but that's what we locked in with.
I think the pronunciation is Bismillah, but no, given Bismillah. How much I've mispronounced on the show so far today, I'm not authoritative by any means. But yeah, Bismillah.
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 Okay. Awesome.
So this next one, I first heard about this fact on Good Job Brain, and I think this is just fascinating. So our second last question. This event was estimated to have hit 310 decibels, which is so loud that it no longer even qualifies as sound. It could be heard 3,000 miles away in the middle of the Indian Ocean, the sound having traveled 4 hours to get there. The sound wave itself traveled around the world several times. What was the event?
Yeah, well, I want to say it's the beast mode touchdown. I don't think it's that, but we came with a different answer, so we're locked in.
I mean, just given where the Indian Ocean is located and then thinking 3,000 miles in either direction, I'm thinking something along the lines of maybe like some sort of nuclear bomb test.
No, I think you're onto something. A very, very loud explosion was what I had in mind. I kind of remember seeing somewhere a while back that when Krakatoa erupted, that it was thought to be potentially the loudest event, and that would be even another order of magnitude, even and more explosive than a bomb. So I don't know if you're okay going the eruption of Krakatoa, but I'm pretty sure I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, I'm fine with that answer.
Yeah, we had virtually the same answer. I'm pretty sure that it's a volcano eruption, and I would have said Krakatoa if I was forced to give a specific one.
I believe you. it is indeed the eruption of Krakatoa. It was so loud that the sound wave itself killed people all by itself.
Wow.
Wow.
And our last question. Adam Marshall Diston technically won a Nobel Prize, since he was the ghostwriter for what Nobel laureate who had expected to get the Nobel for Peace.
All right. We talked about some people, and the name jogged a memory of mine. So we're going to lock in.
All right, Corey. Nobel Prize winners, or laureates, rather, for Peace that didn't get them.
Not entirely sure, Jeff. I honestly don't. I have a few guesses, but it's probably way, way off.
Throw them out there.
Think along the lines of like a Nelson Mandela or a Mother Teresa type thing. But I don't see either one of them as a laureate, though. That's the thing.
My best guess here, and you know, unfortunately, this is how it goes sometimes. I think Neil may have tipped his hat since he said he kind of remembers seeing it. I feel like this was Churchill's ghostwriter. And I know Neil spent a bit of time in England, so I don't know if that's a fair guess. But, you know, he did oversee these Fair Isles, did he not? So, how do you feel about Churchill?
I'm fine with that. That sounds good to me.
Okay, we're going to lock in with Sir Winston Churchill.
Yeah, I may have tipped my hat a little bit. I remember spending some time at the Churchill War Rooms, and that's why this name rang a bell, and I'm hoping it's correct. So we also said Churchill.
Yeah, it is Winston Churchill. It's a very peculiar selection for a number of reasons. Is he only wrote one novel called Several, which didn't get well received. He was mostly a journalist, and he appears to have gotten the award for his history of the Second World War. So it's a rare example of a nonfiction writer who didn't even write that much getting the prize.
Something we can all aspire to.
The other interesting thing is he got the prize as Winston S. Churchill, because when he started out, there was a better known American writer named Winston Churchill who wrote bestsellers. So we started a less well-known Churchill, Winston Churchill.
That's really funny.
Well, after the second round, it looks like team Them Cooked Vultures still picking up a bunch of points, picking up 40 points, bringing their total to 210 going into the final round. And us over here at Tweens of the Stone Age only going to pick up 30 points, bringing our total to 185. So it's 185 to 210. Still technically anybody's game, as we always say, but it's going to have to go to the final round here. So we'll see what happens. Before we hear those final round categories, just one more time, wanted to tell everyone about Patreon. If you'd like to join Paul and Corey over on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. We have so much fun sending out all of our welcome letters to all the new patrons. We have a stack of about 11 of them in front of us right now. They're about to go out tomorrow, so we're super excited to share those letters and stickers and goodies with you very soon. But your support really helps the show continue to grow, and we couldn't do it without you. So if you'd like to join Paul and Corey and so many others on our road to 600 patrons, we hope we can get there before the end of the year. You can go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. Okay, Paul, what are the final round categories to see how this is going to shake out?
So this is going to work a tiny bit differently. This is a bit of a casualty of the lack of notice here. But what these are five questions all about Liz Lemon's boyfriends.
So I love this.
For betting purposes, I've arranged them from easiest to hardest.
Okay.
I'll tell you that for each clue, there's a clue about the actor and his other roles and a clue related to 30 Rock. So for example, if I were to say, not only did he play an X-Men, but the jury was out when he played Chris Cross, whom Liz eventually marries, that is James Marsden. So they're going to be all structured like that in terms of easiest to hardest. So.
Okay.
I feel like we're about to have a lemon party. 30 points on everything.
Matt, you can't have a lemon party without old Dick.
Well,
saying that, I decided not to. So
Dick Lemon, love Dick Lemon.
It looks like team Them Cooked Vultures is going all in. Do you just want to go all in, Matt?
Yes, I certainly do.
Okay.
Are you telling me the guy who references werewolf bar mitzvah at least once a year wants to wager a lot on 30 Rock?
All right. Well, everyone is locked in at 30 points apiece. So feel free to take it away, Paul.
So, A, you know him as Ted Lasso, but he was also Liz's first decent boyfriend, Floyd, who moved away to glamorous Cleveland. B, Carol Burnett was actually a very male pilot played by this man, whom Jimmy Kimmel always cuts for time. C, best known for starring in an AMC period piece, he played a pediatrician named Drew Baird, who turns out to be so handsome he's never learned how to be competent at anything at all.
Great character.
D, hey dummy, before he was the Vulture on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he played Dennis Duffy, the douchey page seller whom Liz can't seem to shake.
Beeper King, please.
What?
The Beeper King. Come on.
That's right.
Give the man his respect.
Yeah. Well, giving him his respect is giving him none at all, actually. E, when you hear the name Wesley Snipes, it really does seem to be a better fit for an Englishman. In this case, played by a man who has also repeatedly played Tony Blair.
Okay, we are going to look at these questions. We'll be back with our answers.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. Three rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages. Teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
All right. Well, all the answers are locked in. And what you're not hearing that ended up on the cutting room floor was a long diatribe by Jeff about 30 Rock and history. But we enjoyed it. But
I love that show.
You do love it.
It's great.
And you're not paid to say that you love it either. But we do have some questions to answer.
But I would take Tina Fey money in a heartbeat to sing her praises. So.
All right. Well, Paul, we're going to throw back to you. We have our answers. So let's see if we got them right.
All right. From the top, you know him as Ted Lasso, but he was also Liz's first decent boyfriend, Floyd, who moved away to glamorous Cleveland.
Yep, we said Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, I love Ted Lasso. We also said Jason Sudeikis.
It is. And Jason Sudeikis also had a small role in It's Always Sunny, which we're going to have a game about in a few months' time, FYI. B, Carol Burnett was actually a very male pilot played by this man, whom Jimmy Kimmel always cuts for time.
I think that clue at the end helped us a little bit. We went with Matt Damon.
That is Matt Damon. Oh, I should have let the other guys go.
We're going to say Matt Damon. No, we were going to say Matt Damon.
Yeah, I believe you on that for sure. C, best known for starring in an AMC period piece. He played a pediatrician named Drew Baird who turned out to be so handsome, he's never learned how to be competent at anything at all.
I got to tell you, it's good to live inside the bubble. John Hamm.
Yes, we also said John Hamm.
I'm not speaking from personal experience. It just, for him, it seemed.
D, hey, dummies. Before he was the vulture on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he played Dennis Duffy, the douchey pager seller, whom Liz can't seem to shake.
Yeah, when you're looking for mayhem like him, you got to go Dean Winters.
Yep, Dean Winters.
Yep. He'd also been in Oz, too, which was really good.
Oh, fantastic show. And the casting is so amazing.
E, when you hear the name Wesley Snipes, it really does seem to be a better fit for an Englishman, in this case, played by a man who has repeatedly played Tony Blair.
And finally, we went with Michael Sheen.
Yep, everyone had the same answers, taking out all the the scoring and all the other stuff. We said Michael Sheen.
Yep. Perfect scores for both of you, but you went all in, so this round was an entire waste of time.
Well, that waste of time had some pretty high scores, so we're going to see what happens here. It looks like the tweens of the Stone Age could not handle the Stone Age with the lack of electronics, so tweens are going to be ending with 235. And just like the crooked vultures over a corpse, they love circling corpse, and they're going to end with a perfect circle at 360 points and are today's cream of the crop. So congratulations to Jeff and Corey.
Dave Grohl wasn't in a perfect circle, Neil. You know that.
The cream was at the top. Oh, yeah.
No, that was a great game, Paul. Thank you for all those questions. We'll start with you because we always know you have a lot going on. Is there anything you'd like to plug or shout out? We know we're going to have you back for an Always Sunny bonus game coming up here pretty soon. But anything else you'd like to say before we let you go today?
Well, I'd like to plug some other people, actually. We mentioned Bill Patrick, whose name I'm also mispronouncing, but BP Trivia is really good. Russ Friedewald is still doing Trivia Workshop on Twitch. So a lot of people out there are doing great stuff, and just wanted to shout them out. You guys are doing great stuff.
Oh, well, thank you. We appreciate that. And any time that we can shine a spotlight on other great trivia creators, we always try to do that. And Russ and Bill and also, you know, Jay Borsum, so many people doing great things out there in the universe. We support it. So thanks, Paul, for being here today. And Corey, we had a chance to talk about your kids before this, and I'm not sure if they're into trivia or not, but who would you like to shout out? And hopefully they're going to be happy with your dad today for kicking our ass.
They will be one day. I can assure you that. I just wanted to give a few shout outs to the team, them Cooked Vultures. We go to the Broken Goblet Brewery every Wednesday night, hosted by Righteous Jolly, believe it or not, is his name. So I just want to give a shout out to the team and to him, and also to you guys too. You know, countless hours of trivia and knowledge and fun and laughter. It's been something I've enjoyed listening to over the last, I believe, 7-8 months at this point since I joined. And it's been nonstop, and I've enjoyed it ever since. I'm only looking forward to the future.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. And yeah, like we said before, we can't do it without you, without Paul, all the people who listen and help support the show. And, you know, it's our favorite thing to do is to meet new people, and that's what we get to do every week. So thank you so much for joining us. And speaking of meeting new people, meeting new shows, hearing new things, Jeff, we have to thank Airwave Media before we leave today.
Absolutely. So, you know, we are an Airwave Media podcast, and you can find other great shows at airwavemedia.com, including, but not limited to, All Creatures, Into the Impossible, and When Things Go Wrong.
Ah, see, that was kind of like us today. The audience will never hear it, but we were lagging like a son of a... So I just bleeped myself there. But
oh, I thought that was more lag.
It might have been the lag. But no, thank you so much to Corey and Paul for joining us today. And as always, Matt and Jeff and Ken, who I believe is still in a trash pile, but we'll go look for him. But my name is Neil, and that was another episode of Triviality. We'll see you next time.